Welcome to another episode of the Blemished Beauty Podcast. This podcast was designed with you in mind. If you're ready to erase the norm and embrace the truth, come pull up a chair, grab a journal, and tell a friend that your favorite Jersey girl is back with another episode. So let's get into it.
Hey, y'all. Welcome to another episode of the Blemished Beauty Podcast. And I am your host, your favorite Jersey girl, Shira Renee. This season, we are doing something a little differently. We are diving deeper into our healing journeys. So I ask that you take your time and really soak up the information, because these episodes that I have designated for you this season is going to be good stuff. Now, this is your trigger warning, because some of these episodes will be survivor stories. And I pray that as you listen to these episodes, that you will receive confirmation that just like these survivors have gotten through their storms, you can get through your storms too. These survivor stories are stories that are going to prayerfully inspire you and transform you and give you all the things that you need in order to pivot from where you are to where you want to be. So with that being said, let's get into the episode.
In this episode, I had the pleasure of sitting down with Lady J. She is known as the Bounce Back Queen. She embodies resilience, overcoming abuse, homelessness, addiction, and a near-fatal brain aneurysm. She is an award-winning community leader, speaker, multimedia mogul, author, mentor, and serial entrepreneur. She empowers others through her platforms, including EGO, Entertainment Network, and Bounce Backology, LLC. Let's get into the episode.
Good evening, Lady J. How are you?
Hello, good evening. How are you? I'm well.
I'm doing good. I'm excited about this conversation. It's been a while. We was trying to collaborate and get schedules together and stuff, but I'm glad we were able to meet up and do this conversation.
Yes, me too.
So tell the people who you are. Who is Lady J? And I am definitely curious to know, how did you get the name the Bounce Back Queen?
Well, I like to tell everybody I'm a servant before I'm anything else. So that really just sums me up. So yes, I'm an author, speaker, multimedia mogul, as some people call me, bounce backologist, you know, mentor, counselor, and a bunch of other things. But it all comes down to I'm a servant. I love to serve others. I love to help others. In everything that I do, so whether that is personally and or professionally.
That's awesome. So you are a writer and director.
Yes. I didn't answer the second part of your question.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I forgot you asked me, how did I get the name the Bounce Back Queen? So for those who know my story, and my ongoing story, so things that I'm continuously, you know, enduring and overcoming. I was dubbed the Bounce Back Queen by a friend of mine named Shanita Cease, and then everybody started like catching on and calling me that, because I have literally had to bounce back from, man, unspeakable, unimaginable, and seemingly impossible circumstances, hardships, and traumas repeatedly throughout my entire life. So whether that be physical, emotional, you know, social, financial, all kind of stuff. I mean, everything from, you know, childhood on up, you know, rape, abandonment, suicide, homelessness, you know, brain aneurysm. I mean, you name it, I have already experienced it, drug addiction, everything. So I've constantly had to bounce back in life, and it just, you know, happens to be my calling for the things that God has me doing and the people that I'm assigned to. So
that's amazing, because usually most people would just have one of those things to bounce back from, and you've had several. So how do you, I mean, like, what is it that gives you that drive to keep going? Because I'm a visual person, right? So as you're saying this, I'm thinking of somebody running a race and you jump over one hurdle and then now here's another one. And then here's another one. So most people, if they're not prepped to run a race like that, they're going to get fatigued and tired after jumping over one hurdle. And that's like life, right? So imagine just going through life and then you thinking, okay, I done jumped over this hurdle. Now here come another one and another, like after maybe two or three, all right, you can, all right, God, you could take me off the strongest people's list because like, come on now, like now you're talking about six or seven, like, okay, like, wait a minute. Like, how do you muster up because you're so vibrant and it's the colors. Like I'm big on colors. I love bright, beautiful colors. And you're sitting here with this smile. And I know, you know, sometimes we smile and there's other things going on, but how do you just muster up the energy? Cause sometimes life be life in it. You can't just muster up a smile. Sometimes it's just too much, but you're managing to do it. And you said still doing it. So how do you just wake up every day and just be like, all right, I'm gonna do it again. I'm gonna try this again. How do you do it?
Well, sum it up in one word, God. That's really all I can say, because there were times when I couldn't keep myself. There were times when I didn't want to be kept.
I know that's right.
He was keeping me.
Yes.
You know, and I was literally like, it was almost like my life was on autopilot. You know, like I tried to throw him the towel many a time, but he threw that towel right back. So, you know, I tell everybody that God really, and my children are really my saving grace. When I was 21, that was the wake up call for me, where I had to make up in my mind that quitting was never going to be an option. Matter of fact, the Holy Spirit let me know that quitting was never going to be an option.
Absolutely.
So, and that's a part of my story too. But, you know, even though I may smile sometimes, people have no idea the battles that I face now. It's even now on the day-to-day, you know, basis.
Mm-hmm.
I live with a ruptured brain aneurysm as well. And so I've had to, it's a constant battle every day,
right?
You know, mm-hmm. all day. And there are disabilities that people can see, there are disabilities people can't see. You know,
right.
And some things that they don't get to experience unless they're around me long enough. And with that, my children, they drive me, because I'm a person that leads by example.
Mm-hmm.
So both personally and professionally. So I know that my story not only inspires a lot of people, but it also has allotted me the ability to share some lessons and obtain some tools that other people can use, practical tools mm-hmm. that people can use, you know, in their own life. So I've come to the understanding that who I am is the living, breathing example of God's love for us. And I am a constant reminder that He is real, that He, you know, is anything that you need Him to be.
Amen.
And so being grateful for everything that I have, the mistakes I made, the things that I've gone through, yes, the bad, the good, the ugly, the sad, all of it, because all of it was necessary in order to shape, make, and mold me into the vessel that I needed to be in order to help the people that I'm assigned to. And so once I came into that understanding, like knowing that everything that I go through, everything that anybody goes through in life is not for themselves, it's for, you know, other people. So
I love that you say that. Yeah, I love that you say that. Yeah, it could be worse. And that is the mindset that we need to have. And that's the premise of the show. Like, as you can see at the top, it says own your scars, right? And it's important to do that because, like you said, what you're going through is not about you. It's for other people. Mm-hmm. And it could be worse. Like, you think of people that have domestic violence and, like you said, suicide and other things that they have gone through. People have been taken out of here with those things, but then you have the survivors that are still here, still alive to tell the story, to open up these forums for people to talk about it, to prevent other people from walking into it. Like, we have to do what we are designed to do. And this is what we are designed to do, to be walking, talking, breathing testimonies that God is real and God can walk with you through it and, you know, just endure things with you. You know, sometimes we need tangible people, friends, family, and stuff like that. But you literally, when you have a relationship with God, it's nothing like knowing that, all right, if he could get me through this, I know he's going to get me through that or whatever. Right. I tell people all the time, you've survived 100% of the things that you thought was going to take you out. So this ain't going to be no different, right? Like every time we get into something, it's like, oh God, I don't know how I'm going to do it. I don't know. The same way you did it last time. Like if we could just breathe and not focus on what our head is telling us and focus on what we know, and we know who we are and whose we are, we'll be good to go. So you talked about, you know, the things that you have survived, and suicide was one of those things. And I want to briefly, you know, just give you a moment to talk about, you said you were a writer and director, you have a movie coming out, and I want you to just use this time to talk about that and tell people a little bit about the movie and your acting and directing, scene, like your, that season of your life.
So, yes, I've survived 4 attempts of suicide. So, 4 different ways. And luckily, the last attempt, I didn't even get to fully attempt it, but I did go through with the first 3 attempts fully. And the guy said no. He said, no, ma'am. You know, and people, you know, we like to say that, you know, that everybody's life matters, everybody's important, everybody has a purpose, and that is very true. However, everybody's function is different, just like the body. The eyes don't do the same thing that the fingers do, the fingers don't do the same thing that the legs do, you know, the legs don't do the same thing as the pancreas, the kidneys, but each and every part of the body is essential for the body to work 100% the way that it's supposed to. And so that's something that we have to realize in life. The brain is the most important. The brain and heart are the most important thing in the body. Those are the things that keep the body moving and doing everything that it needs to do. And so, you know, God revealed to me, you know, a while ago that I am so a so-called brain, if you will. So I'm a lot like Moses. When, for those of us, yes, we have free will, but some of us, when we are called to do something, we don't get a choice.
I know, that's right.
We do not get a choice. They say that many are called, but few are chosen. You know, and yes, I'm one of the chosen ones. I didn't get a choice. There are many people out here that tried it once and they out of here. I mean, I done begged and cried, please let me go, please. Nope. You know, but that happened like in my younger years, and you know, growing up in domestic violence. You know, and then repeating that cycle, you know, abandonment, you know, having parents that I was a motherless and a fatherless child, you know, after the age of, well, I was a fatherless child from the age of about 5, and then a motherless child. My mother really just clicked out, check out of being a mother, you know, or clicked out or whatever at 11. So, you know, and, you know, enduring a lot of abuse. A whole lot of abuse and sexual assault and molestation and rape and all kind of stuff. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. And, you know, for a child, that's a lot to deal with. And then operating like a parent for your siblings, because you love your siblings, you want to see them, you know, succeed, helping them with homework, combing their hair, cooking, you know, all that kind of stuff. And there was so much like weight, you know, on me as a child. And I just needed a way out, and nobody was listening. I was telling people what was going on, what happened to me, and nobody was listening. People, you know, thought I was lying, because my parents is definitely good at being one way in front of everybody else in a different way, you know, behind closed doors, until, you know, everything hit the fan and police, you know, got involved and CPS and all kind of stuff. Now it's too late, you know what I'm saying? All the damage and stuff is done. You know, and all those years the people were not, you know, hearing me, that caused me to, you know, spiral into that deep, dark you know, level of depression to where that was my only way out. And yes, you know, my grandmother, she was like my mom. She was, and you know, but she was old school. And so I didn't fault her in that, you know, that was her child and she believed what she, you know, said. And she apologized though later after understanding like everything that was going on. But my grandmother, she instilled in me when I was very, very young and constantly taught me about God and the word of God and talking about doing it to others as he would have them doing to, as you would have them doing to you. And she used to always tell me that, you know, that she was proud of me and that, you know, I was going to do something great. And because of that, I knew who God was, but I didn't know what it was to have a relationship with him. Those are two totally different things. And so because I didn't know how to have a relationship, even though I was being taught the word and being, you know, taught certain life lessons, it was difficult for me. And my brain anyway wasn't developed to the point where I could process the things that were happening. And then they were happening like consistently and over and over. And here comes another trauma and another trauma and another trauma. So that caused me to go into a deep, dark, you know, depression. And that caused me to turn to suicide. And so when the first attempt didn't work, then I tried something else. That didn't work. Then I tried something else and I started getting angry. Like, you know, I was already angry, but I was getting like extremely angry and frustrated. But it wasn't until I had my first two children, you know, in a marriage, domestic violence marriage, that I decided that would be my last attempt. Like I would not try that anymore because of the conversation that I had while laying in the bed on the psych floor, the psychiatric floor in the hospital. So, and God was like, look, I told you no. I don't know why you keep trying this. So don't do like, and so, and I couldn't say anything or do anything, but just sit there and cry. And I'm just like, and I didn't understand, you know, and a lot of people, you know, they ask me, you know, how can you say that there's a God and he let all that stuff happen to you. And I have to remind people that God is sovereign. He can do what he wants to do, when he wants to do it, how he wants to do it, and who he wants to do it to. We forget that our lives are not our own. We did not create ourselves. We didn't bring ourselves here, and we don't get to pick and choose what our assignments are. And we don't get to pick and choose the trials and tribulations that we have to go through. Absolutely. In order to fulfill our purpose in the assignment. We don't get to choose any of those things. It don't feel good when you're in it. It don't look good. It sometimes it don't sound good, but guess what? It's nope. Necessary.
It is.
You are not here to have a good time. And that's what people miss. You are not here to have a good time. He did not create you to come on this earth just to have a good time. That is not what your purpose is. And we don't, his ways are not our ways. So we may not understand why, you know, he chooses this person or this child or that child to come in, you know, and be born with some defect or this person to go through, you know, the things that I went through, whatever. We may not understand it. And some of us don't come into the understanding until later because we're so consumed with ourselves and what we want. And we forget that we don't belong to ourselves. We are down here for a purpose.
Amen. You know?
And mm-hmm. So when I came into the realization of that, that is what really started my search for who I was and whose I was. And so once I realized that who I am and my identity and everything is tied to him and not to my parents or all the people that, you know, mistreated me, misused me, abused me and things of that sort, that is when I started to really, you know, go through the process that God took me through in order to heal and not just heal, but become whole. So I wanted to live and not just cope. So I didn't want to just survive. I wanted to thrive. And so once I did all of that and got to a place where I was completely free, oh, I didn't care anymore. Like there is nothing about myself that I am ashamed to say, tell somebody, or I'm already told, or whatever. So there's nothing anybody can hold over my head. You know, a lot of people walk around with skeletons in their closet and they're scared that something's gonna come out. I don't care. Because at the end of the day, you can't help nobody by being quiet or silent, and you cannot help when you are mentoring, teaching, or preaching or anything from a place of perfection instead of a place of transparency. And so that is the cause, you know, for the I Survived Suicide movement. And I had a friend, her name is Melanie Franklin Johnson, and she was the straw that broke the camel's back that caused me to go ahead and launch it, because I already been thinking about launching it because I already had the life support company, which is the company that I started doing mentoring and counseling, speaking and things and sessions with young people at risk, youth and family. And that's now called Bounceackology, and life support is the brand that, you know, helps businesses, and I still speak and do my books and things under that brand. But she was one of my good friends, and she had tried to commit suicide several times throughout her life. And on June 29th, 2017, she succeeded. And I was so angry with her because we had stayed in contact over social media, but for a while we stopped talking. Melanie was a difficult soul. She was a difficult soul. I love her to death, but she reached out to me and about 2 years prior, and we were talking, and you know, we rekindled our relationship as far as like being in connection with each other, like all the time and talking, mm-hmm. and things of that sort. And she asked me about writing her book, helping her with a book, because you know, I had released several books by then, and I was, you know, here, there, everywhere, you know, speaking and all the kind of stuff. And she wanted me to, you know, write her story, help tell her story. She wanted to come into my radio station and, you know, tell her story and things like that. And so we made all these plans, and our stories are so similar. They are very similar. And she's endured a lot of pain. But she masked it a lot. So, mm-hmm. and I had no clue that she was back in that dark place, because a couple weeks before or a couple months before she passed, she actually went to a facility to get some help. And I was so proud of her. And I was like, you know, just let me, you know, checking up on her, just let me know, you know, how things go once you get out, you know, let me know that you're doing okay and things of that sort. And so, and then I get the call, we're supposed to meet up the following week to start working on the book. I told her to send me the stuff, and she had sent me all of those writings. And then the following week I was driving, I got a call that she was dead.
Wow.
So that she had committed suicide. And it literally, for a hot second, I like screamed so loud. I had to pull over. I screamed, I was crying. And then all of a sudden, all of that sorrow turned to anger immediately. And I was I was so angry with her. And then I was angry with God. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
You know? And so I'm like, why is that gotta be me? Why I gotta tell the story? Why would she leave all this stuff with me?
Right.
You know? And so now I am fulfilling, you know, the promise that I made to her. I did fulfill the promise I made to her. I did tell her story. Her story will be told in this new film, I Survived Suicide. And, you know, the platform itself is there to help support, encourage, and uplift those that are battling depression, those who have lost others to suicide as well, and to teach them preventative measures, because suicide is 100% preventable. And I tell people all the time that the mental health field is like a revolving door. And that's because the mental health community or industry only treats symptoms. They don't treat the cause or the root.
Right.
So that's what Bounceackology is. And that's how I have lived my entire life since the age of 21. And I've never had a suicidal thought since then. Not once.
I love
it. And I have been through the ringer. And I tell people all the time, and I know other people too. Now, there are some days you may be depressed for a day or two or something, but not to that extent, you know, just feeling down. It's you know, it's normal, because you're a human. You know what I'm saying? You're human. You have a flesh side of you. So it's okay to cry. It's okay to be mad. It's okay to be upset, but you can't stay there, you know? And so that platform is there to give a voice, an outlet, educate, and give some tools on how to address those issues and things. And the ladies that are part of that platform as well, they are therapists. Some of them are counselors, you know, and speakers and things as well. And so they too use their stories to help, you know, other people battling depression and suicidal ideation. And so that's what the film is. It depicts four stories of people who have survived suicide. And it talks about just some of the things that they endured leading up to that, that goes through the actual suicide attempt. And then, you know, what actually happened afterwards and where they are now. And then it depicts someone who did not survive suicide. And so it's an ongoing film series, and it's always based off of the book I Survived Suicide. So this is the first one, and the next one, next year, a new book will be released with a different set of stories. And then the following year, a movie will, you know, be depicted for that book, and so on and so forth.
I love that you are, well, it's just like God, right? To you say when you're being told something and you're like, no, get somebody else to do it, basically. And then he puts you in a position where now you have to do it. That is the visual moment of you throwing the towel at him and him throwing it back. Now you got to do it. Yeah. But I love that. And I commend you for, you know, just taking the towel back and doing what it is that you are doing, because that is definitely something that people struggle with every day. A lot of people are not vocal about it. And I love that you also guide and give other people that are supporting, like their village around them, tips and tools on how to support, because a lot of these things we don't really have those tips and tools. You know, it's like, mm-hmm. if you get a rash or something on your arm, you go to Google and be like, okay, I got a rash on my arm, what is this? And then they'll diagnose you based on that, and they'll give you treatments and stuff like that. So situations like this, it's important to get those tips and tools so you can be more mindful and look at some of the signs, of the warning signs, and ask the right questions. You don't want to trigger, you know, anything to be worse or whatever. You want to be a safe space for somebody to come to you and say, hey, listen, I'm going through something, I need help, or whatever the case may be. So can you kind of give the listeners and the viewers a couple of tips to provide that support for someone who may be struggling and going through it?
Yeah. So, you know, the very first thing that a lot of people don't do is they are not, you know, with themselves. And so in order to get help, you have to first say, you know, I have a problem, you know. And so with with that, you have to start at the root. And so all of my sessions, when people join Bounce Backology, when I'm working with either adults or young people, we have a exercise called What Do You See? And that allows people to see themselves literally on paper, flipped inside out. So not what do you see on the outside, you know, but what do you really see when you look at yourself in the mirror? And they have to either outline their body on a sheet and fill it all up, or they have this paper with a body, you know, on it, or there's a mirror and they can just write everything on there. There are three different ways that we do this exercise. And so that allows people to see themselves. And then when you look at yourself and you see all of the clutter, everything that's in there, you know, all of the negative things, then you'd be surprised that there are probably 85% negative, you know, and only,
you know, yeah, exactly,
you know, positive. And you're like, okay. So then you get to the place where you are, and I call this Operation Rock Bottom. So in Bounce Backology, there are five phases. You have Operation Rock Bottom, stepping into healing. Then you have preparing for the comeback, rebuilding, and then celebrating the bounce back. Okay. And within those Operation Rock Bottom, you literally have to get to the root. And so once you are able to see yourself with the inside out, now you have to go through all of those things and figure out, okay, why do you feel that way? Where did that come from? You know, who was this tied to? This is how you identify those root causes. Because, you know, a lot of people, they don't like to do that because it's painful. And yes,
yeah,
it's painful. It's not going to happen overnight. But I promise you, like when people look at me, I know I don't look like what I've gone through or what I'm currently, you know, going through. But I am proof that there is light on the other side.
Absolutely. You know,
there is light on the other side. And so when you are able to get to the root of the issue and then pull up that root, just like you do weed, then you are able to flourish and grow, just like, you know, flowers and trees and things of that sort, and or surgery. If there's something wrong with you internally, you can't just put a Band-Aid over it, you know, and or go lay down and get some sleep. You got to get that thing.
Yes. Work. Yes.
Or surgery.
Yes.
Otherwise, you're going to mess around and die, you know. So if you don't want to do that physically, emotionally, and unfortunately, when you are emotionally and spiritually and mentally unstable or sick, it will manifest itself physically as well.
Yeah, it will.
If you don't want that, then you have to make up in your mind that you have to do the work. And the most difficult part in the Bounce Backology program is the stepping into healing phase too, because even though each phase includes several things, that part, you know, once you've identified what the root cause is, now it's time to go through the surgery. And the first part is to forgive, whether that's yourself or other people. And that is the part that a lot of people have an issue with.
Mm-hmm.
Because so many people are hanging on to what somebody did, what somebody said, or I can't believe I did that, or themselves, I can't believe I did that. And I'm like, the more that you hold on to it, the more you're going to be stuck. Because while you're over here, you know, rolling around in your anguish, these people, they moved on, you know, and we are so concerned about what we see or don't see. Well, you don't know what they did to me. They don't deserve forgiveness, and they living their life, and they got this and they got that. You don't know what's happening or what's going on behind that person's doors, you know, in their head. You don't know what has happened. That's not, and that ain't none of your business.
That part.
Okay. And so it's like, you know, teaching people how to let go is, well, it's not difficult anymore, but it is difficult because you want people to get it. You want people to grasp it. You want people to apply it. But unfortunately, again, everybody has their own free will. Everybody has their own choice. And so you have to choose you. You have to choose to want to be better. You have to choose, you know, consistency, determination, if you want to get through it. Because it's going to be some, I'm telling you, it's going to be rough. It's going to be some days and times you'd be like, forget this. Okay. But it's worth it. It is so worth it. And so I would encourage everybody that the first step is to admit that there is something wrong. Admit that there is something wrong. Take a look at yourself and identify what you feel, what you see, and then why. Why? And then where? Where did that come from? Where did it originate from? And then you can start to do the work. So once you identify those things, now it's time to accept that is why you are the way that you are. That's why you think the way you think. That's why you feel the way you feel. That's why you, you know, move the way you move. And then ask yourself, is this how I want to be? Is this how I want to live the rest of my life? And for a lot of us, we have children and we forget that generational curses are real.
Yes, very.
There are children my children have never seen me drink or smoke. I don't drink or smoke. Never, never. However, they have other influences. They've been around other people. Not only that, their alcoholism and drug addiction runs in their family on my father's side. But they, and so if they were to, you know, one day pick up a bottle, and I've seen it, you know, pick up a bottle or drugs, and they never even met this person died before them. But guess what? It runs in the family.
Yeah.
You know, so there are sexual abuse, sexual assault runs in my family. Just about every female.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sad. But I said, it stops with me. It stops with me. And so that means I have to move a little bit different. I have to, you know, pay attention, and I have to make sure that I am, you know, moving in a way that serves not just only myself in a healthy way, but my children as well, and protecting them, and then listening and you know, looking out for red flags and things of that sort. You know, there are so many things that we are, I'll say, not only accustomed to because of our upbringing, and we just decide, oh, that's the way I was raised, but that don't mean it was right. You know, that don't mean it was right.
That part.
So there are so many things that we are accustomed to or exposed to,
mm-hmm.
that we have to unlearn. And so when you're stepping into healing, those are the first steps that you need to take, because then you have to go into the surgery part, and that's the uprooting. So if somebody was speaking negative things into you, and I was told I was never going to be good for nothing but to lay on my back, and ain't no man ever going to want you. You know, no man wants to love you. Ain't nobody going to keep you. All kind of stuff. Excuse me. That stuck with me because of who said it. You know, it stuck with me for a very long time. And so there are ways that you can learn how to uproot those things that have been embedded, you know what I'm saying, into you, into your mind, into your spirit, into your heart. And so that you can start to replant and rebuild, you know, so that you can flourish. So, yeah, be honest with yourself about where you are right now. Look at yourself and, you know, tell yourself how you feel, what you think about you. Determine, you know, who is tied to, where did it happen, when did it happen, you know. And then you have to accept that. And then when you accept that, now you have to make that decision. Is this a road I want to go down? Do I want to be healed? Do I want to be better? You know, do I want to be whole? If the answer is yes, okay. The first step is going to be forgiveness. That's the first step. And now there was a process that I used to teach people how to help them forgive people. Yes, I talk about why forgiveness is important for them and not the other person. But for a lot of people, it's tied to people that they hold in high regard.
Yeah.
So their parents, or their grandparents, or mm-hmm. cousins, or a pastor, or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then so I have to teach people, because you have to learn also how to accept the apology you may never get. You do not need an apology to forgive or to move forward. And forgiveness does not equal relationship. You do not have to enter into a relationship after you forgive someone. That just means you've given them a clean slate. You've released it from yourself, from your spirit, from your mind, from your heart, so that you can move forward. And understanding that who they are, what they did, what they said, has no bearing on who you are and who you are to become. Not even your parents. They don't get that kind of power. They are merely a vessel to get you here. Were they charged with tasks in rearing you? Absolutely. And if they didn't do that or didn't do it right, they have to answer for it.
Right.
That's on them, not you.
Mm-hmm.
So I teach people that in order for you to accept the apology that you'll never get, and understanding that you're literally holding on to a rope that is constantly tightening on your wrist, you must like the pain, because all you got to do is let go. That's all you got to do is let go.
That part.
So you have to understand that they had a life before you. They endured some trauma as well. Who knows? You know, I found out later some things about my parents, you know, but that made me understand a little better about why they were the way they were, why they did what they did, and why they choose to still be who they are. Because everybody has a choice. So you have to understand that they had a life before you, right? And it doesn't justify what the person did or what they said, but it does give you insight to understanding who they are and why they are the way they are.
Yeah.
And once you get to that point, then you can look at them as not just mama or not just daddy, but as an actual person, as a fellow woman or man or whatever, right? And then you have to look at yourself too and take an inventory of how long you've been in this space, or how long have you been spiraling downward and been stagnant in your life, or, you know, going down instead of up and forward in your life. Do you really want to give that kind of power to somebody else to keep you in that state for all this time? I ran into women who are 40, 50, 60, still holding on to stuff that happened when they was 10 and 11. That's a long time to be in prison.
Yes.
To be sick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a long time, but it's never too late. And so those are some of the things I would say those are the first steps for anybody that is battling with depression or suicidal ideation because it comes from somewhere and from something. And I promise you that going through the process is worth it. And, you know, in Bounce Back Ology, we give demonstrations, live demonstrations, because I'm a demonstration.
I love a good visual.
Yes.
I love
it. You know, their activities, their incentives to keep people going. So, because it's heavy stuff that we deal with. And some people may not be trauma. It could just be a hardship. Okay, that too. I mean, it covers everything from, you know, emotional stability, mindset transformation, anger management, trauma recovery, conquering, you know, depression, exploring your identity and purpose. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be you went through the impossible or the unimaginable, but maybe you have identity issues. Maybe you don't feel valued unless you're with a man or with a woman all the time, because your identity is tied to materialistic things. Maybe you don't feel valued unless you got on the latest Jordan or, you know, got the latest Gucci bag.
Same brands, yeah.
You know, I mean, everything from accountability, responsibility, self-control, you know, life skills, the importance of education, goal setting. Bounce Back Ology is a holistic program. It's fun. A lot of people love it. The youth definitely love it. Like I said, we give incentives. So to encourage them to keep going. And they get checkpoints so they can see how far they've come in their walk and the things that they've learned about themselves and how well they're doing. And what do you think about yourself now? Let's do this. And so we do the what do you see throughout the different phases, you know, to see how your perception of yourself is changing, because your perception of you is the only perception really that matters.
That matters.
Because what
you
believe about yourself is what's going to come out of you, and what's going to come out of you is going to teach other people how to
treat you and see you.
Exactly. There you go. So yeah, that's what I would share. I know that was a lot, but I mean, you got to do the work. You have to do the work internally, and you have to stick with it.
And if that's you fall, awesome.
Get back up.
Right, exactly. That's awesome, because it's very important, like you said, how you see yourself really does matter, because when you feel a way about yourself, you pick differently, you speak differently, you dress differently. It's a total transformation of yourself and your surroundings. So that's very, very important. And it's a lot to unpack, especially like you said, if you're 40 or 50 and you're dealing with trauma from when you were 6 or 8, like, and you're showing up in these relationships as this 6-year-old, this 8-year-old and a 40, 50-year-old body. And when you go through conflict, you're reacting from that 8-year-old or 6-year-old place. And a lot of us don't know that. So we need platforms like this and your program and stuff like that to really help people navigate through these things so they can make the rest of their life the best days of their life, because we don't know how much time we have. Only God knows that. And you want to show up in these places happy, healed, and whole. So I'm excited about that. That sounds amazing. And I wish you continued success on that and the movie, because I know that's going to do great. And you said it's a series. So right now I'm going to give you the time to tell people how they can tap into the series and the movie and everything that you have going on, how they can tap into your program and stay connected with you.
So for the movie, I Survived Suicide, you can go to www.isurvivedsuicidemovement.com and you'll see everything about the movie there. And if you go to Ego Entertainment Net, which is the production company for it, that's EGO Entertainment Network. So that's www.egoentertainmentnet.com. So egoentertainmentnet.com. If you subscribe there for free, you will get all the updates on the movie and a bunch of other stuff, entertainment opportunities and things of that sort, if you want to stay up to date. The premiere for the movie is this September the 8th in Atlanta, Georgia. And we are going to be at the Sonesta Atlanta Airport South venue. Okay. We're going to be in their event venue. That is in Atlanta, Georgia. Red carpet starts at 12:30 PM. There will be the movie premiere as well. You will be able to meet the stars of the film and the ladies that are depicted in the film. And it's not just for women. Those just happen to be the first stories that were told in this movie series. And then there's going to be a Q&A. We're going to have a dinner party, dancing, and all that kind of stuff. So it's a full day, you know, from 12:30 to 5. All right. There's a full, you know, afternoon and evening planned for this premiere. It's going to be unlike anything you've ever, you know, attended. So it is a red carpet premiere. So make sure you come dressed for the occasion. We only have a few tickets left, actually. So if you want to get your tickets, go to www.isurvivedsuicidemovement.com. Get your tickets there. Now you can even book the hotel rooms at the host hotel on the site as well. Tickets are only $23 for the red carpet experience and $25 for the premiere festivities. If you want to attend both, the combo ticket, you can save $5. $3, I think, $45 for a combo ticket, okay? So for myself and anything else that you want to see, all my brands, Ego Entertainment is there, I Saw Suicide, all those brands you want to browse and learn a little bit more about myself and programs and things that I offer, you can go to www.ladyj.co. That's LadyJ.co, all right? And you can also access my social media from there. And each brand has a link where it will take you to each brand on there. And so I hope to see you all there. And I know that this movie is going to change and help a lot of lives. We have so many people that are already looking forward to it. And so many people have been sharing their stories nonstop. We've lost several people to suicide during the filming and editing of this film. So we will be remembering those as well.
That is awesome. And again, I wish you much success with everything that you have going on. I wish I was close to Atlanta because I definitely would have been there because that sounds like a whole vibe, a red carpet like you've never seen before.
And I stay on red carpet, so it's like...
You already know what kind of experience you want to give people. Yeah, so that's going to be awesome. But I'm going to live vicariously through my sister, author Nikki Nicole, because she's going to be. So I'm going to live vicariously through her. So I thank you for coming on and taking the time out of your busy schedule to sit down with little old me.
No problem. Thank you so much for having me. I forgot to tell people too, it will premiere after that on Ego TV Network. So you definitely want to subscribe to egoentertainmentnet.com. And then after that, it will be available on all the streaming platforms. So it will be there exclusively first. And you'll know how to access that. But you can access Ego TV on Roku once it releases in September. September the 8th is when it will launch. So that's where you can see it. And then it'll be available on other streaming platforms afterwards. So if you missed the premiere.
That's awesome. So hopefully, prayerfully, once this releases, this can set the tone for churches and other people to really tap in and have these conversations, more podcasts and platforms, because we need to bring awareness to suicide and everything else that we as a community shy away from. So I appreciate you for continuing to keep going, to wake up every day and do what it is that God has thrown back at you to do. And thank you again for just coming on. I appreciate it.
Yes, thank you for having me.
So you guys, as always, I want you to know that you are graced and gifted for a time such as this. You have purpose in this world, and you have been created to do great and amazing things. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And until next time, talk to you later.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode, and don't forget to leave a review. You can follow Shira on all major platforms and on YouTube at ShiraRenee510. Until next time, spread love, show grace, and shine bright.